But the Lord is faithful, and He will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So, you know, this confidence that we need to have in our lives that God, you know, He is going to take care of us, and He's going to watch over us as we have this desire to be stewards of Him in our lives. Now, we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command. Now, in the light, as we get to this next verse 5, in light of the possibility of becoming fearful, thinking about the return of Christ, or becoming lazy, Paul gives the what fixes that. He gives the solution to that in verse 5. He says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." The love of God and the patience of Christ. So the one thing, fear, that the Scriptures shouldn't bring that into our lives. Our faith in Christ should not be part of our lives. Fear, anxiety, it should be comfort, hope, boldness, and we should not become lazy or apathetic about life, but rather fervent and walking in power and having a life full of joy, rejoicing and with thanksgiving. As the opposite of that, well, how do we do that? Well, I think verse 5 really tells us that our hearts, the Lord would direct our hearts back in the midst. And again, the Thessalonians were in such persecution. They were dying. They were being killed. They were being martyred. They were being jailed. Loved ones, family members were losing their lives because of believing the gospel. It's hard for us to fathom and understand that. But this is what was happening. Direct your hearts back to the love of God. He loves you. God loves you. You're not going through the great tribulation. It's not God's wrath. It's not His judgment on your lives because you're experiencing these things. It just isn't. God loves you. It is. How do we... How do we just hold on to that? Hold on to that in spite of everything we experience in life, that God loves us. And don't we need to get our hearts directed back to that simple message? How often do we need that reminder, that strengthening, that God loves us, even though this is or that is happening? God loves me, even though my hand is hurting so bad because of this trigger finger. I need to go get surgery. And praying, Lord. But, you know, He still loves me. I'm not going to say, man, you can't be Job's friends. You might have those. They hinder the word of truth. Oh, brother, you must be in some deep secret sin. You know, there's got to be a reason why you've got a trigger finger. What is it? What's God speaking to you? What do you got to get out of your life? You know, oh, God loves me. He loves me. And God's mad at you. Or you wouldn't have had that car accident. You wouldn't have had that flat tire when you were in a hurry. If God loved you, you must have the blessing of God's not on your life. What's wrong with you? They're hindering. Paul's going to say, don't even fellowship. Don't buy into this game and camp out in that kind of mentality. Stay away from it. It's not good for you. I love you. Direct your hearts back to love and to the patience of Christ. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 4. This concept of love. Verse 17 of 1 John 4. Love has been perfected. I don't know how you can even in my mind understand what perfect love is. Can't get any better. Can't get no better than this. I know that's not good English, right? Don't get any better than this. That's what they say, right? Perfect love. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Hey, Jesus went through a lot of trials. He was rejected, you know? He experienced every temptation and every trial known to man, is what the New Testament teaches us. That we have a high, great high priest that can sympathize and understand the things we go through because He experienced them Himself. And so we can go boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. But not only that, we can stand boldly in the day of trial or judgment because Jesus went through the same things. But, you know, He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And, you know, Paul said in Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that he demonstrated his love, his perfect love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is perfect love. And so, if you start getting fearful or anxiety-ridden in your life, then something, you're not grasping hold of the perfect love that's been demonstrated for you. God loves you. Direct your hearts back to that. He loves you. And he just does. Anything else that would try to take away that, you know, cast it aside. It's not from the Lord. There's a lot of Job's friends out there. Just don't buy it. God loves you. He does. And he doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to read about his second coming or about the imminent return of Christ and make us scared or fearful about life. He loves us. And that perfect love he has for us should cast out all fear in our lives. And we shouldn't be tormented with bad dreams or worrying about this and that. Or what about my kids? He loves us. He's going to take care of it all. The second thing is that our hearts are to be directed towards is the patience waiting for Christ. And I don't know how that this can become part of our being, except that we go through the trials, count it all joy, because it produces, that's the way that patience is produced in our lives. But basically what it's saying is that we know that God's going to work it out, period. God will work it out. When I find myself in that place, patience in Christ means I know He's going to work it out. I know that He's going to work all things for the good. I know that He loves me. And to stand strong and to not lose faith. Probably every one of us in here sitting here this morning, and you've probably been in a place where you're going, wow, man, God, do you really love me? Why am I going through this? I'm really hurting. How did this happen to, you know, I love them so much. How could this happen to them? We all get that test, right? But we come through it and we're still here and we're still faith. Because he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He loves us. And he wants to direct our hearts back to the patience that we can have in Christ when we're going through it. Because he will take us through it. He'll work it out. And it's going to work for good ultimately in our lives. And something we need to hold on to in our lives. God loves us, and even if we're under great trial or tribulation, he'll work it out. And to just be patient. And ultimately, we'll be with Jesus. We'll be just like him. I had some Colossians scriptures. This mystery of the gospel, I'm so amazed. James was sharing with me, and Eddie sharing with me about their Bible studies and what the amazing things God's doing in people's lives. You know, we're actually taking people off the street. Prostitutes, heroin addicts, crack addicts, broken marriages, all these things. And people are starting lost jobs, 30, 20, 30, 40 years of life given over to waste of time and uselessness are coming back to life. And God is restoring what the worm has eaten. And he's bringing, you know, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness back into life. It's happening right in our midst among people in our lives. And it's a mystery. It's amazing. The gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing the word of God transforms lives. There's such a power in it. And Paul says, man, this needs to go unhindered. There's those that don't want that to go out there. Why would you want to get people to remain live a wasted life, a useless life? Man, there's something here for all of us that we can all grab hold of. I'm going to read a few verses from Colossians real quick. God has made known to his saints what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. It's the heart of Paul sharing about this. Christ is living in us. It's our hope of being like him, glorified. And on in Colossians it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when your Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. Affections above. I have affections here too. Don't we? I mean, we'd be lying if we said we didn't have affections that we enjoy here in this life. But to set them, you know, God loves me. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be glorified. It's going to be so amazing. It's something to look forward to. I'm going to set my heart, let the love of God set your hearts in that thing and have that as part of your being, part of your lives. It shouldn't bring fear. It should bring comfort. It should bring hope into our lives. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Praying also for us, also in Colossians, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul was so overcome with this amazing gospel of Jesus Christ that he said, even when I got thrown into Roman prison, and he wrote from there, he says, I'm in bonds because Christ put me here. This is my purpose, and this is my life. It would be good for us to come back. I mean, where are we? As Christians, we're Christians, and have we really come to a place to understand where our lives are a stewardship for a higher purpose than just, you know, winning, having the most toys when we die, or raising good kids, or having good marriages, or having successful businesses? It's bigger than that. It's higher than that, and we're all called to that.